I'd like to take this time just to tell you to eat my ass. What is going on, boys, and welcome to another episode of the Cruel Summer Slashback, Week 3, Uncle Bill, Week 3.
This is the Hispanic Panic Edition right here, boys. It don't get any better than this. We take all of your favorite Espanoles and we line them all up and we watch them.
Yeah, in particular films of...
We got to hurry up and watch these because they're going to be deported soon by ICE.
Jose Ramon Larraz.
Yeah.
Hey, Jose. So,
say hello to the bad guy.
Yeah, it's not south of the border horror. It's across the Atlantic horror. It's Spain. It's different than Mexico, even though they all speak Mexican or Spanish. Right. I'm confused by the whole thing.
I am too, to be honest. Like, I don't know what's going on in both of these films in terms of, like, the ethnicity of anyone in the films. They look like they might be white or, like, you know, American. But then at the same time, some of them look like that they might be.
I think some of the actors were American in this.
Yeah.
Some of the production was not. But
clearly the production was not. No.
These are, and I was curious too, like, I didn't remember it. I was pretty sure I'd never seen Deadly Manor, and I was right. And
you were better off.
We'll talk about it in a little bit. But, like, I couldn't remember. Edge of the Axe, I do remember the video cover from back in the day, but I couldn't remember if I'd seen it or not. And I'm still not 100% sure I'd ever seen it before this week.
Well, I must have, like, passed out or been watching something else. I don't know, because I was talking to Matt about it, and Edge of the Axe was not the movie that I thought it was. And when I went back and watched it, I was like, well, we'll talk about it. But, like, I was telling him how shitty it was and all this stuff, but, like, Edge of the Axe is not the movie that I was thinking.
Okay. It was Edge of the Knife.
Edge of the Knife. It was probably a movie.
Could have been Edge of the Knife. Yep. But welcome, everybody. This is the equivalent to our summer book club here at Dead Pit. This is the Cruel Summer Slashback, where each week we go through two slasher films. And this week we've got 1988's Edge of the Axe and 1990's Deadly Manor. Both of these films directed by Jose Ramon Larraz. I want to go to El Rodeo Grande and say, hola, senor. I want the Jose Ramon Larraz platter.
And they'll be like, okay.
You want chips and salsa?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I hate Spanish slasher films. I really always have, and since, like, I've started trying to watch all these different slashers. But here's my problem, and you'll notice it if you haven't already noticed it before when you watch these movies. These movies were made in 1988 and 1990. It looks like they were made in 1975. The quality of these fucking movies It's goddamn awful.
Let me ask you something, though. Did you watch the Arrow video editions on
Blu-ray? I watched the Arrow video editions of both of them. They still look like they were made in the 70s. Uh-huh. I don't know why.
We'll talk about it. But, yeah, everybody in the chat, Matter of Pat, Vanderhoff, Ryan Atkins. Yeah, they're doing a This Is Spinal Tap. What is it, 40th anniversary or whatever it is?
Yeah.
What, you're coming out? No, it's that.
Spinal Tap 2. Spinal Tap came out in 80.
It was early 80s. Yeah, it wasn't. Or something. Okay. So why are they doing like a revival run of it?
Ah, fuck it. Because that movie's coming out, the new one, I guess. I don't know.
I don't want to see it.
Nobody wants to see that.
Pathetic. Antonis. Darren Burrows. What's going on, Darren, over there in Wales? The mayor, Boris Von Humpingstein.
Yeah.
Clayton Kincaid. What's going on, Kincaid? SYC Jim, Mega Man MG, Kevin Smith, Witch Hunter, Foz Rotten, the Blackest Peter. Edward 5150. Dirk is in the house. Dirk, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about Deadly Manor for sure.
Do you have the poll up tonight?
I do have the poll.
Slide down that poll.
We'll talk about that here in just a second too. But yeah, people are, Scratch Bueno is in here. Ken Carlson, people are filling up already. So if you missed the past editions, go back, because we did them last year too. I think we've got a grand total now, including this episode. What would it be? A total of 26 slasher movies reviewed.
Jesus.
So they're racking up. Now, a little bit of a show note, and I don't know if you're going to do some sort of slasher special a week from tonight. You can if you want to, and we'll promote it. I am going on vacation starting on this coming Saturday. I'll be leaving, and I'll be gone for almost a week. So we're going to
You're going to Guadalajara, aren't you, to find out where all these places were?
I'm scouting some luchadors for AAA.
Yeah.
And going to Guadalajara City, Spaniard City, and Mexico City. And we're going to see if we can find the next Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
I deserve to always go on vacation, Jackson Jack. I really do. But, yeah, we're going to talk about the show 2 weeks from tonight, towards the end. So definitely stay tuned. That's going to be a good one as well. I'm excited about that one. Myrtle Beach. I'm not going to Myrtle Beach. I'm scared to go to Myrtle Beach. There's lots of chaos and violence.
They call it Murder Beach now. So
no, I'm not going to Myrtle Beach. I'm not telling anybody where I'm going. It's secretive, but it's not Myrtle Beach. I can confirm that. So Uncle Bill,
yeah,
let's rock and roll, strut and stroll, and dive into these slasher movies from Jose Ramon Lares.
So are we going chronologically again? Cause if so, that's going to be a shame. Yeah. Really?
Chronologically.
All right.
First one up technically would have to be, Edge of the Axe. Great name, dude.
Yeah, so 1987, 88,
87, 88, yeah.
Yeah, this movie came out, and it is a straight-up slasher film.
There's no denying it.
About, like, a mysterious, like, masked, almost like a clay mask with no features and just eyes killer.
It's kind of like a poor man's Michael Myers.
It is. It's really kind of even creepier than Michael Myers, but he's stalking this rural North Carolina town. All these women, mostly women in this town, and murdering them with the edge of an axe.
Ooh.
And there, you know, there's a great opening scene with a car wash, and there's a scene in broad daylight. Pen. Yeah. So here you see like the mask that is very much like the Seven character from WCW. And you've got like a couple of guys that are buddies or whatever that are exterminators that are, you know, in the process of finding out like where this smell's coming from in this house. They find a dead body and it uncovers this bunch of like secrets about women that have been murdered in this town. And no one knows who the killer is, but they're all trying to find out, except for the sheriff, who seems really sketchy about trying to find out anything about any murders.
There's this John Boy Walton looking guy that's big into computers, and evidently it must have had some form of internet back in 1988. I don't know, because he and this young girl are communicating. You see John Boy there. The look of the killer in this is really cool. I did enjoy that. I thought that this, and I saw somebody post in the chat talking about the atmosphere of Deadly Manor. I thought this one was the one that had all the atmosphere to it.
I don't know if I'd call it atmosphere, but this one is the more like mean-spirited, aggressively like slasher film to me.
Well, it seems like the one that's like better made too. Like this one, and I was shocked at how good this Blu-ray looked. Cause you know, we'll talk about the movie too, but this one was pretty difficult to find. Like I think up until like 4 or 5 years ago, that release from Arrow there is the only home video release this thing has had since back in the VHS days. So it's pretty difficult to track down and see, and they remastered the shit out of this thing and it looks great. Evidently they found the original camera negative and all that. So, the movie looks great. And here's the big difference to me between this one and Deadly Manor is this one constantly shits, right? And Deadly Manor
shits.
Yes. Deadly Manor. It's like you're straining the entire time and you don't get nothing. You don't get nothing. Kills from the very get go. Like the scene from the car wash at the very beginning. And, you know,
I just thought that was a killer, like, set piece. And they've got a lot of really cool set pieces in this movie. The car wash, but I was just imagining, like, the reality of that situation. If you tried to get inside of a car wash and, like, kill somebody, like, you'd get the fuck beat out of you and things and all that hot water and wax and shit. But anyway, that's a really cool kind of, like, spot. And so is I thought the pig pen is a really kind of cool spot to murder somebody. And the way
severed
that
pig head.
Yeah.
That's good.
The way that they did that too, where it shows the guy, like it literally shows, I can't tell if there's a quick cut or not, like him bringing the hatchet down on her back and it like sticking in there. I'm not sure like exactly how they did that. It looked like one take and maybe it was a prosthetic on her back or something, but like you see it like stick and it just kind of stays there. But they had a lot of really cool death scenes in this movie. I thought like the chick that gets her fingers cut off and like there's all kinds of like
I like the rotten old corpse like falling down from the rafters of the barn or whatever it was and that looked it looked really good. Yeah,
it's got that's I wrote this down because that has a great quote from one of the actors and like they're asking the guy because they go into this bar and they're trying to find out where this smell is coming from. They don't realize there's a corpse in the attic or whatever. And they're exterminators, so they think it's an animal. And they go in there, and they're like, what's up there anyway? Asking the guy that owns the bar, and he goes, it's just storage. And one of them goes, well, are you storing up there shit? I thought that was great.
Well, it's actually, it's storage for, it's Coggy's Bar.
Yeah.
Right? And another thing I want to mention, too, this was shot in Spain. So I think it was supposed to be like Northern California area or something like that.
It's supposed to be, I think, North Carolina.
Oh, is that where it's supposed to be? I thought it was like, I thought it Big Bear National Forest or something. I don't know where that's at, but it legit, I didn't think it was in Spain. It looked like it was somewhere in the United States, right?
It did look like, I thought it was like, I had no idea it was in Spain until you said that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's kind of like a murder mystery sort of deal. There's also like a relationship with the young girl and the John Boy Walton looking guy who talk over the computer, and they have an early version of fucking Siri or whatever that it's so bad. Like it speaks out what they're topping and stuff.
That shit, that killed me when I first saw it, because like, so they're like, the guy and the love interest are on this computer, and they normally play games and shit on there, but like, they are typing back and forth to each other, and it's for some reason, I don't know if it's supposed to be like that the computer itself is reading this back to them, or if it's just a voiceover or whatever, but
it's repetitive. I mean, it's not like, yeah, they do it the entire time.
Yeah, it's the funniest shit ever, because it's like it sounds like it's coming from a fucking tunnel somewhere. It's like, you know, hey, how are you doing? And then they like goes back, I'm doing fine, how are you?
I like this one good enough. Like, there are pretty violent axings to this, I guess you would say, where, you know, so most of the time in the U.S. horror slasher movies, you know, they kind of cut away when they hit with the axe, but I don't know if they were using like a rubber axe in this or what. They did really not cut away. Like, they were constantly like, yeah.
They really whacked the shit out of some of them women too, with whatever the hell that was. Because you can see it, like, in that one scene in the house where he's, like, he's killing her. I think this is the one where he chops her fingers off first. And he's, like, hits her in the chest, but, like, you see the impact that she kind of, like, falls back. But, I mean, it's clearly not a real axe, but it looks like it really, like, knocked the piss out of her, too.
Yeah. And the plot, and here's the thing. There's a big unveil at the end, and I won't really spoil it for you or whatever. But it made me want to go back, because they do hide the kid. Like, you see the killer quite a bit, but yeah, they got a big thick trench coat on. You can't make out really any features about, hey, who in the hell could this be? Right. So, I mean, that was pretty cleverly done. And I really did think the look of the killer was pretty neat. Like, I don't know if that was a paper mache mask, latex mask, whatever, but it worked. I would imagine it'd be hard to breathe in that mask, but other than that, I think I think the look worked pretty well.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I really liked it. But I guess the main female's name is, I'm trying to look on here, Lillian. I guess that's her name. And I really didn't pay attention to any of the names. Like, it
was Gerald is the computer geek guy. Gerald.
Okay, Gerald and Lillian. So
here's a story about Gerald and Lillian.
So, you know, they're constantly talking back and forth on this computer, and then like one day old Gerald finds like this list of psychiatrists and things like that in one of the computers, and he's like really confused as to why, you know, this is in there or whatever. And the movie takes a really interesting turn, like almost like 3/4 of the way through the film. Yeah, and that's about all I'll say about it, but it's,
there's a lot of killings in it.
There's a lot of murder in this movie. Yeah. And it's like, you know, Friday the 13th, where just random people kind of show up from time to time, or maybe they're not so random, and they get killed.
Didn't the killer kill a Jack Russell Terrier in this? That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, the ultimate sin.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't kill dogs.
No.
You can kill kids before you can kill dogs.
I mean, if you kill the dog to eat it, like Michael Myers, that's okay.
Right.
But you can't just kill it out of the fun of it. Like, Michael was hungry.
Yeah, he was just trying to eat. Yeah. And then, yeah, he kills a pig, too. He's a fucking vicious animal killer.
He or she, whoever it could be, we'll
yeah,
see.
I don't know.
I like this movie, though. I didn't think, like, I know a lot of people, like, really jack their bird and excitement for Edge of the Axe. Mm-hmm. And it does have, like, a legendary VHS cover, for sure. That I think that movie still goes for a ton of money on VHS. So I understand that, and I can kind of get the love for it. I thought it was okay. It was decent. But I am surprised. I don't think that I had ever seen it up until now, oddly enough.
I'm not positive that I have either. Like, I thought I'd seen it, but I don't think that this is the movie that I was thinking. Because when I watched it, I was like, okay, like, this is pretty killer. And I still think that after watching it, you know, in preparation for this show, that it's amazing, because number one, there's a lot of gore in it that's really kind of well done for a movie of that budget. And number two, like, there's just constant death scenes, like just one right after the other. And it's got that kind of vibe to it of like a giallo meets a slasher, and I don't know.
Yes, someone had mentioned that they think it's a giallo, and it would work for sure as a giallo. But that this movie is clearly trying to be a slasher movie.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's no doubt. Especially
the only giallo-esque part is the murder mystery part of it, I guess, and the killer in the way.
The killer's look a little bit. Yeah, for sure. But man, this one's the killer edition. Arrow Video brought this out in 2020, I think, is the year it came out. And they did a fantastic job. And if it had been since the VHS days since you've seen it, I would highly recommend you guys going and getting this Blu-ray. I've got it sitting back here. And some killer artwork on there, too, with that one. So you can't go wrong.
Fucking the computer voiceover. It's like, it's almost like Stephen Hawking or something. Oh, my God, don't kill me. Oh, Jesus. Like, that's the way it kind of goes through the thing. But with a really, like, large echo and more of, like, a Darth Vader-ish kind of voice. There is a quote in here that I wanted to mention, because the love, whatever, between the two leads in this movie is goddamn horrible. And they're both so kind of wooden, and the acting is so bad. But there's a scene where they're, like, talking to each other. And I wrote this quote down because I thought it was killer.
Yeah.
And she goes, I like you. She goes, I like you a lot, Gerald. You just seem so, there's this really long pause, mysterious.
Gerald's a mysterious man.
Yeah.
That intrigues Lillian. But so, yeah, with Edge of the Axe, you get the love story with Lillian and Gerald and a mysterious masked killer that attacks his victims violently.
Certainly is mysterious. Axe.
So yeah, I would actually highly recommend everybody go and check this one out. This is a traditional, you know, even though it's Spanish, a Spaniard made by Spaniards, but it was made in English. You can tell, like, there is an English version and a Spaniard version on this, but this movie was clearly made in English.
Yeah, I mean the actors. I think, man, I could be wrong about this, but I think that lead actress is somehow or another Spanish. Like, she's either part Spanish, part Mexican, something. She looks American, but she also looks like she's Hispanic. I could be wrong, but I think. Now, the rest of them all seem like they're pretty much like American, English, whatever. And I can't very tell.
I think it's very well made, too, this one was.
I think so too. What do you think it was dubbed, or do you think, like, is that just an Italian thing, or do you think that it was dubbed over completely? I couldn't tell when I watched it.
I think it may have been dubbed, but you can tell that they were speaking English. Like, they were speaking what they were dubbing over. So I don't know if that was like the you know, how they do things in Spain too, like just overdubbing all the audio or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I was actually surprised. Like, I was thinking that Edge of the Axe was probably not going to be very good, but I think, yeah, I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty decent.
I think I probably liked it more than you even. Like, I just, for some reason.
Well, you was assuming it was something else too.
So I thought it was going to be a huge piece of shit too. So yeah. And I was expecting like a complete bore fest, and it's really not that. It's really like pretty exciting, pretty right. Well paced, I should say, all the way through the film.
We did get a super chat while we were going on talking about Edge of the Axe, which
God damn. Yeah, no.
Matthew Hara is really pushing for the Burning, right? Which we did review already. If you want to go back in the archives and search for it, I promise you that we did review The Burning, and we probably gave it more of a favorable review then than we would now.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Yeah.
But we appreciate the super chat, sir.
So real quick, though, because I wanted to bring this up just about this movie, too. So it's really brief, really short movie, too. So it's not really hard to watch or anything like that.
Yeah, both of these are like under 90 minutes, I think.
It was released in the U.S. on VHS through MCEG Home Video in 1989. And then after that, 2018 by Arrow on the Blu-ray. And then, yeah, sometime in 2019, it says it was released on Blu-ray from Arrow, actually. So there's not many editions of this film out, apparently.
No. And like we were saying, the VHS, I'm pretty sure it's still one of those that goes for like over $100 all day, maybe even more than that. So, I mean, definitely seek it out. I think it's probably online. You can probably watch it online somewhere if you don't want to pay for it or anything. But if you're a fan of slasher movies, I mean, this is a pretty solid recommendation for anybody that's a fan of these type of movies, for sure.
I think it's one of the better, like, Spanish slasher films I've ever seen. But I'll tell you what's funny, and you'll get a kick out of this. The director considers, like, this movie to be his worst film.
Yeah, that's what Edward popped up there, and that's going to be really interesting considering the next movie we're going to be talking about. But before we get into that, we do have a poll up, and I wanted to
touch the poll
for the moment. We have over 111 people in here right now. Only 59 votes on the poll. So what the hell, man? Get over there and vote. Which is the better slasher film, Edge of the Axe, with 78% over Deadly Manners, 22%? Is that a fair ranking? I don't know. We'll have to get into it and see, Uncle Bill, because, man, okay. Deadly Manor, it seems like around this time period, 99, 2000. What the hell did I do here? Hang on a second.
Uh-oh.
Something popped up on there. Okay. Arrow Video, 2019, 2020, 2021, they were burning up these slasher movies, like these little released slasher films, like regional slasher movies, some of these movies that had never received any sort of release since the VHS days. And Deadly Manor is one that kind of just gets mixed up in the batch where I'm like, which one was that? Right. There's one called Trapped Alive. There's one called The Wind. Chill Factor was one, I think, that they did. Hell High is one. Yeah. Death Screams.
Slayer.
Girls Night Out, The Slayer.
There's a million of them.
Yeah. Ton of them. And this one, I'm like, what the fuck is Deadly Manor, right? And it, like, the front of the cover and everything looks like, okay, it kind of looks a little cheesy, but we'll check it out and see. And, man, this one is an oddity, I think. It's, like, it starts off like, yes, this could be fucking great, right? Because the setup is perfect and everything. And, you know, we'll get into it and we'll talk about it because a group of young, we've heard this story a million times, young teenagers going off into the woods to camp and canoe or whatever the hell else they're going to do.
Yep.
And they have issues with their vehicle. They decide, hey, it's getting late. It's getting dark. Let's go somewhere for the night. And they just stumble across this creepy ass fucking mansion. Say, golly gee, yeah, let's go stay in that fucking mansion, boys. Tonight, let's do it. And from there, the entire movie, they are just wandering around talking. This is like an 86 minute movie. You don't even see the killer in this movie until what, maybe the last 10 minutes of the movie. The shot on the cover with the mask and everything, that scene one time in this movie. The deaths in this are all primarily off screen, right? There may be one, I think there was one like throat slash.
It looks like shit too, though. They yeah. all look awful.
There's no real memorable death scenes or anything. And I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, right. Like and we all know it's a woman is the killer. If you look at the freaking anything associated with the movie and the killer.
Uh-huh.
And God. So they find these kids are fucking dumber than shit too, by the way.
Right. Well, right at the beginning of the fucking, if it wasn't bad enough, right, that like they just decide to go into this creepy ass house at the very beginning of the movie, one of the friends or whatever is like, I saw somebody up there. We probably shouldn't do it. And they're like,
no, there's somebody there. Shut up, yo bitch. Get out of here.
That's what they do to her. They're like, you're dumb as hell. We're going and in there.
They find, what all do they find in there? They find this car that's got like a shrine of a woman in it. They find all these old photos.
They find
photos.
Caskets. They find a bunch of fucking like caskets in there.
They find caskets in the basement, and they try to open the fucking caskets. Like, oh, there ain't nothing in them caskets. I swear. There's nothing in those caskets. It's going to be fine. And they find a collection of scalps.
Yeah.
And they're all like, we don't have enough room in the car for everybody. Motherfucker, have you ever heard of sardines? You can squeeze some asses in a car unless you've got 15 fucking people. We don't have enough room in the car for, we can ride around to the morning.
It's so killer though. The guy that's like looks like the greaser guy or whatever finds these scalps. He's like, these look like women's fucking scalps. And everybody's like, ah, shit, don't worry about it. We got shit to do. Let's walk around.
Let's just walk around and find some more creepy ass shit. Oh my God.
It's really not great though. I know that it sounds like it would be great, but it's really
super boring.
Boring. Yeah. It's like nothing happens in this movie for about an hour, almost like an hour, almost longer than an hour. You're just kind of sitting there as they're walking around, fighting with each other, talking. They pick up like a hitchhiker that they think, you know, it's kind of like the red herring, and they think he's creepy and he's on the run from the law or whatever. That never goes anywhere, of course. And they're just like freaked out by him. So they're arguing about, and it's just like that for, and then the kill scenes are the worst type.
Did we mention the girl that just decides to wander off by herself back into the woods? Like, where's she going?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
At the beginning, I'm leaving. Y'all are stupid for staying here. I'm going to go walking. Boys are like, go ahead, bitch. Get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. We got business to attend to.
We're gonna stay at this creepy that ass. Is. Yeah, we're gonna stay at this creepy ass mansion. It's got fucking weird shit all throughout it, caskets and fucking scalps and
yeah, fucking the most unaware group of like people ever. I just love the fact too that they're just like, you know, Lord over there said there's a fucking somebody wandering around, but fuck her, she's crazy. And they just walk around and do whatever.
So this one was made in 1990, but was not released on anything until a cheap El Cheapo VHS. What was it? Action International Pictures in 1990. Action International Pictures, and it was released in the U.S. under a different name, Savage Lust, baby.
I don't give a fuck what they call it. Like, there's no. They can call whatever they want. There's no amount of titles or like covers is going to help this movie at all.
Well, the unveil too. Jennifer Delores, the actress's name. I mean, this isn't. I mean, they tell the backstory. They could have executed it a gazillion times better than what they did. For one thing, you never, ever, ever see the killer in the movie ever up until probably what, the last 10 minutes. It's like an 87 minute movie. And don't get the impression of like all the artwork that they've used on this. You're thinking, oh, that is the killer, but you don't like, there's nothing to it. Right. You don't ever see him or anything. So I thought that was shitty. And then when the lady takes her mask off, that looks fucking ridiculously bad. You can see somebody cosplaying at a convention, the makeup will look five times better than what this look. This look freaking terrible.
This is awful. His masterpiece, though, man. Like,
well, this dude smoking some good Spaniard marijuana. That's all I can say. He thought this was his masterpiece.
I mean, a couple people are talking about like the atmosphere of the movie. I personally don't think it has any atmosphere. I just think it looks really super generic and nothing really happens throughout it. But like, you could say that this movie has a gothic atmosphere just based on the fact that it takes place in like an old house that's in ruins or whatever, but it doesn't really take advantage of that.
Yeah, there's no slashing really in this. Lots of talking and time wasting. And it's a short movie, like I said, 87 minutes. This one is like a night and day difference between Edge of the Axe. Like, to me, Edge of the Axe had all the atmosphere, the better killer, the better kills. I thought that one was much better made of a movie. This is extremely boring. The only other slasher I can think of that's maybe more boring than this is Scream 1981. That one is a little bit more boring than this one. But of all the ones that we have reviewed in the history of the Cruel Summer Slashback, to me, Deadly Manor may be the worst one.
God damn, is it like... That's saying something, too, because we reviewed some...
Because sometimes I can get enjoyment out of, like, just goofy, stupid shit. Like, you know, Tarot Tin Killer, the woman had the gigantic breasts in one scene. Like, to me, that was enjoyable. Like, that movie sucks, too. But I didn't get really any enjoyment out of Deadly Manor. I was just like,
I will say this, though. There is nudity in this one. There's quite a bit of nudity. And there's a really weird, aggressive sex scene in Deadly Manor, too, that I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Good-looking lady in this, too. Jennifer Delore, like I said, she was also in... And I'm about positive that we wrote to her back in the day. That name just sounds too familiar, but she was also in Frankenhooker. And she did a couple of other Z grade movies. But yeah, I mean, this one, I pretty much hated this one, man, to be honest. Like I
wasn't a huge fan of it either. And there's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities in this movie to me. Like, if you're going to make a slasher and it's a straight up slasher, which is exactly what this, I mean, like you said, it's got the exact setup of every, like, slasher film you've ever seen. Group of kids, they're friends, they're banging, they drive, they get stuck somewhere, but then there's no, like, execution.
There's this one scene that fucking cracked me up, too, where I think the girl that run off towards the beginning of the movie didn't want to go in, her name was Helen or whatever, right? She's one of them that gets killed off screen. I think she gets killed off screen. I don't think we ever see what happens to her. And there's a scene with a dude just sitting in the car, right?
Yep.
And Helen's dead body somehow just catapults out of the back seat.
Yeah.
And he gets blood and shit like, oh, Helen! Oh! And he runs fucking, off and shit.
He freaks off like for 20 minutes about that, too. He's like,
Helen's in the car!
The Fonz looking guy. That guy. Yeah.
Matthew Hara. He says a fresh new review of Cropsy would be killed.
Oh, God damn it.
Maybe that's what you can do next week, Uncle Bill. You can just review The Burning for Matthew Hara.
No, I feel like there's other people that have got that on lockdown. I don't need to review The Burning. I'm good.
The only reason that I would do it is because I could convince people that The Burning's a piece of shit. I really could.
Does it take that much convincing? Like, damn.
It shouldn't. Anybody that's got any fucking common decency should know.
Common decency.
Yeah.
You're a decent person if you fucking don't like that movie. All right, but I'm going to be honest with you. The Burning.
Jennifer knows, boss.
The Burning. Like, if you compare that to this movie, The Burning's like a fucking masterpiece, though, in my mind. Like, as opposed to Deadly Manor. Oh, come on, dude. Like, there's no way. There's no fucking way. Like,
yeah, a lot of people enjoy The Burning, but at some point in time, maybe we will do that video or stream or something where I'll convince all of you guys that The Burning sucks.
I'm convinced. You don't have to convince me. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. But Scream 1980. Chris C. the Slasher Dude is a trippy film, though. It's all over the place. John Wayne's son is in that. Yeah, that's the only claim to fame that movie has. Have you ever watched Scream 1981?
I don't think I've ever made it through that movie, man. I've tried multiple times to watch that movie and can't.
It's literally like the stereotypical movie of just people standing around kicking dirt the whole time. That's basically what they're doing.
Yep. I mean, this is kind of the same thing, really.
Yeah.
It's just people just walking around, talking, maybe a little couple like banging scenes in there. So it's got that on it, but it's just awful.
But, you know, it's not a very good movie. I think that, you know, Jose Ramon Larez, if he thinks this movie is better than, Edge of the Axe, there is 80% of our audience disagrees with him right now. Jose Ramon Larez.
Oh, my God. Oof. So, this movie was actually shot in a manor. A 100-year-old mansion in New York.
And they tore it down demolished. Afterwards, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the crew consisted, it says, of 35 people, and that was it. And this movie was released, let's see, 1992. It was made in 90, right? But it wasn't, you know, that's not a good sign either, by the way.
Yeah, if it sits on a shelf for a few years, that's
and
never
then
good.
Only came out from Arrow Video in 2020. As a Blu-ray, and probably, hopefully, will never be on a 4K.
So yeah, more than likely, yeah. Come on, if it gets to the point where they're doing Deadly Manor in 4K, I think we all just need to quit collecting physical media.
Thank you.
No,
it probably will get to that point.
No, not even Edge. I liked Edge of the X, but no. I will say though that I'm glad that Arrow, and it seems like that, yeah, you know, that period is over. I think our buddy Ewan Kant was the guy that worked for Arrow that did, like, we actually helped him with the Mutilator back in the day. I don't know if he would ever admit that, but that's the truth. And it kind of started a little bit with the Mutilator, and then they started releasing a ton of these unreleased slasher movies. I'm glad that they did, just so you could, you know, you've got kind of definitive versions of all these movies, and they're a lot more easily accessible now. And one of these that we reviewed was very good, Edge of the Axe. The other one is, like, you know, kind of a turd. There would be some people that probably enjoy it, the same ones that like Scream 81 and stuff like that. But for us, yeah, for me especially, like, yeah.
I mean, I feel like at the worst, both of these movies have their own kind of like appeal. And probably there are some people that will champion like movies like this. But can we please, for the love of God, not ever watch any more Spanish slasher film, or really any war film in general?
Jesus,
like, that is my least favorite subgenre of film.
But the truth is this really isn't. I mean, this is Americanized Spanish horror, though. I wouldn't say
it tries to be, but there's still something that's very Spanish about it. I don't know what it is. Probably the horrible production quality and just cinematography and everything that just looks cheap as shit. But I'm just not a fan.
Well, Mac and Me deserved a 4K, though.
Who the hell's talking about Mac and Me?
There's still Dirk's in there posting about it. I saw somebody else saying that we hate The Burning, but we love Mac and Me.
Oh, fuck. I'd watch Mac and Me 10 times before I'd watch The Burning again. At least I haven't seen Mac and Me since I was a kid. People shove The Burning up your ass all the time. Oh, God. Tom Savini did that shit. That guy's fingers cut off. Listen, you know what? Somebody gets their fingers cut off and Edge of the Axe, it looks just as good as that shit, too.
Listen, that killer in there, it looks like it melted wax on his head. That's what he looks like. He's terrifying as hell. He looks like a melted candle.
Look at him.
Crap, Jay. So, yeah.
Garrett in here, Mac said, don't talk smack.
Yeah, don't talk smack about Mac, pal.
Garrett, there's just too much Mac and me hate going around right now. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, everybody should be happy that the Mac is back, but they're not. They're spewing out hate when they could have been hating on fucking Navy SEALs or Virtuosity, Congo, even fucking Showgirls. I've got a history with Showgirls, right? I mean, that was a classic, you know, whack 'em, smack 'em movie back in the day for us, you know, teenagers when that come out. Fuck. That's not a Vinegar Syndrome movie either. Mac and Me is.
Let's have McDonald's and Mac and Me.
Let's have a Big Mac and watch Mac and Me. There you go.
All right. So in honor of Deadly Manor, though, I'm just curious. Like, what does everybody think the most boring slasher film of all time is? I'm curious.
And we'll await your answers. But yeah. I think it's official. Edge of the Axe kicked the fuck out of Deadly Manor on the poll. 78% to 22%. Baklava.
I think that's fair, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. Deadly Games. Yeah, that's another one that they did.
The Prowler, Goblin Says the that's a really boring fucking movie. You're right.
Terror on Tour
is an awful, boring. Body Count is one that's nothing happens in that movie, but everybody wants to see that movie come out for some reason. All of these I agree with. Ten Killer.
Death Screams we reviewed last. I don't know. He said Deadly Screams. Are you talking about Death Screams or there may be one called Deadly Screams? But we did Death Screams last year. That's like a regional horror.
Last Slumber Party's up there too for shit where nothing happens. Like,
I thought that was fine. That was entertaining.
You just like that one fucking guy.
Slaughter High. Yeah, Slaughter High's not that great either, really. I think that one's kind of overrated.
I think Slaughter High's above every one of the other ones that have been mentioned, though.
Do you think we'll ever get a good home video release of Home Sweet Home?
Yeah, because I think Sleepy's secretly working on it.
Home Sweet Home.
I'm on my way. Psycho 3, uh-oh. That's going to get you some hate in here, I guarantee it. Final Exam is 100% a boring-ass slasher film.
Body Count does need a release. I'll at least admit that. I mean, I wish that they would finally come out with it so people would shut up about it.
Have we covered Bloody Moon? No. I don't think we've ever talked about Bloody Moon.
That's a Jess Franco joint, ain't it?
That's probably why we've never talked about it, if it is.
Well, we talked, I think we discussed maybe doing it at some point. But
Bloody Moon!
Scream 81 is extremely boring. Like, I don't know if we'll ever get to the point where we'll want to do that one, but yeah. But anyway, in 2 weeks will be the next episode with me and Uncle Bill, at least. We may do something a week from tonight. I don't know. Just let me know on that. But, yeah, it took us a little while to come up with a couple on this one. And this was like a last-minute addition, Uncle Bill. So I'll let you talk about them this week.
So we have decided, basically, for the next show to do a backwoods slasher theme. So we're going to do Final Terror and Savage Weekend.
Ooh. It's gonna be a savage weekend.
Everybody get down tonight.
You have been chosen. You are doomed. Now prepare yourself for
Savage. So that cover weekend is killer as fuck, so you know the movie ain't gonna be worth a damn. Like, I'm not sure I've ever seen that movie. But that's the point of the show. I wanna do stuff that we've never talked about, possibly never seen, or rarely ever
done. I think that I got the UK release of Savage Weekend, and I was looking for the movie Death Weekend, ultimately, which I found it too. I remember Savage Weekend actually being like surprisingly not bad, oddly enough. So we'll see.
Well, here's what I know about it. I know it's got a ton of nudity and like some gratuitous violence. So I feel like that's enough, right? Like if you're going to do a slasher film.
The thing that I remember about it is it came out in 1979 and there is a plethora of shots in it that look a lot like shit you saw in the first Friday the 13th movie. So I was kind of interested in like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting, right? Because Friday the 13th didn't come out until the summer of 1980.
They consider it to be what they call a proto slasher. So we'll see.
The mayor says it's a snooze fest. Justin Marino, it is going
to be. You can't please the mayor about nothing, though. God damn.
I am on vacation starting on Saturday throughout all the next week, but I will be back in 2 weeks. But yeah, we've got some more stuff up our sleeves as well. Born to Be Rad said that he just rewatched the Final Tear for a Backwoods List video that he's doing. So you can catch that. Check his review out. And then I'm almost positive we've talked about Final Tear on shows before, but I don't think we've ever reviewed it. So this would be the very first time we ever reviewed it. So that'll be interesting too. Very young Daryl Hannibal.
How'd that go again? Oh,
that's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say. All right, guys. So, I guess that is it for, this week's Cruel Summer Slashback. Uncle Bill, what you got coming up, man?
God damn it, I don't know.
Playing with your balls again on live on stream?
Be popping on a pogo stick on my nuts. I don't really know, to be honest.
We did a pretty extensive live Saturday Nightmares last night.
It was a great show.
The first one that we've done in a long time. Had a gigantic group of people in there with us. The Friday Night Lives crew was all there. And Garrett stopped by, Phantasmat. Lots of people talking about Mac and me. There's lots of excitement. Rambo, Wrath for Life, believe it or not, that's one of his favorite films, Mac and me. So he's very excited that they're finally doing that justice. It's, believe it or not, it's the only film that he likes more than Aliens. And I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, that's weird, too, because he was saying, like, he said to me, fuck Cobra. It's about Mac and me at this point. So I was like, you know, I mean, that's a bold stance to take considering how much he likes that movie, but he really loves it.
He especially liked the dance sequence with the on the McDonald's, the front desk area.
Yeah.
The teddy bear thing. That was his favorite.
He likes all the product tie-ins and everything. but no, I think, I mean, the only thing we'll be doing, I guess while you're gone, will be just the Friday Night Live stream. I don't really think I got anything planned other than that.
Okay. But yeah, I'll be kind of available, but I am going to a beach. It's not Myrtle Beach, but yeah, I'm sure it's going to be crowded out the ass. So I'll probably be even more pissed off by the time I get back because we normally go in September, but it is what it is. But again, before we head out next, let's see, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks time, Cruel Summer Slashback returns with Savage Weekend from like 1979. The Final Tear is what, 1981, 82, I think so.
Yeah.
It's early 80s. So we got, that's the next Cruel Summer Slashback show coming up as of right now. And also the Anchor Bay Archives podcast. It's a pretty long episode on MP. It's MP3. It's going to be on
that'd be killer.
Apple Podcasts and Spotify tomorrow. There's going to be a couple of different videos that go along with it. Some prototype Anchor Bay stuff is shown on that. It's pretty damn cool. And this is like peeling an onion, man. Felcher said there's many layers to talk about. But yeah, Michael Felcher, his close friend since all the way back in the Anchor Bay days, who was over all the marketing and graphic design and everything, Mike Ortiz joined us on there too. So it's the tale of two Mikes. Maybe that's what we should have called it.
The mic check, the mic bump, the mic song. So
add your subscriptions on Spotify or iTunes or Apple Podcasts.
Napster, LimeWire.
Yeah.
It'll be on all those.
BearShare. Soon it's going to be up on BearShare and LimeWire and Netscape Navigator Platinum Edition.
Right. Ask Jeeves. You can search for it on Ask Jeeves.
I wonder if Ask Jeeves still exists.
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, definitely appreciate everybody tuning in. Thumbs up everything, boys. Go and thumbs it up. Tell your friends, family, and neighbors about all of our shows. Make sure they become members on the Patreon page where you can get access to thousands and thousands of hours of Horror Talk Radio goodness. Ain't that right, Uncle Bill?
That's very true. We have one of the best Patreons that's out there, really. Like, in terms of the quantity of shit and what you get for your money, it, like, blows the balls off of just about anybody else.
It really does. And tiers start at just a dollar. And what do you get with a dollar? Well, you get your name on a goddamn video. That should be enough. That's worth a fucking dollar. What can you get for a dollar now, Uncle Bill? You can't even go and get a 2 liter of Diet Mountain Holler for a dollar.
You think
a little
about
bit
it,
over
you
a
think
dollar.
About it like this. A dollar a month is 3 cents a day. You can't even feed children like in starving countries for 3 cents a day anymore. Remember when they used to do that shit? You
that's
can't do
a shame.
That
Sally Struthers.
Now it's about, it costs about $200 to feed them. So, yeah, we'll give a dollar.
Dollar a day? You can join her. Hey, we got a pretty killer Discord, pretty active Discord as well. And you do get access to that for a fucking dollar, you cheap fucks.
You should really take advantage of this.
Sally Struthers ate all those kids. No, she did not.
That's rude.
Sally Struthers is a sweet old woman, I'm sure.
I think she died, but she was.
She's still alive, isn't she?
I think she died. If she might still be alive, but I think she died. It's possible. She certainly didn't die from starvation, I'll tell you that.
Look, buddy, look. What? You can't say stuff like, now that's fat shaman or shaman.
No, fat shaman is fucking like an Indian guy's like way overweight. You think of something else.
Oh, shit. Everybody going on about Cropsy. Well, fuck Cropsy. God damn, I'm seeing shit about the burning and Cropsy everywhere. Send me text messages. Fuck.
You need to get a shirt that says Bulls Fuck Cropsy.
That's going to be up tonight on the shop.deadpit.com. Bulls Fuck Cropsy.
Have a picture of that guy. And just put that on him.
Look at my big standard I got, my way.
All right, Bruce, Barber Beefcake, fuck you and them cheers.
All right, boys, but everybody have a good night, and we will catch you guys in 2 weeks. Cruel Summer Slashback returns over at deadpit.com. I want all these people to click everything they're supposed to click.
You haven't been liking them, you haven't been subscribing to them, yet click the bell or notification or anything like that.
Folks, why don't you click the like button?
Do you hate us? Do you not want to see us succeed?
Why don't you click the heart button?
Is this something that you have against our particular show?
Why don't you subscribe?
You should click on one of them buttons right now if you want us to continue to breathe greatness into your life.
There's all kinds of wonderful shirts over at shop.deadpit.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. You can get some Dead Pit Radio shirts. You can get Last South on the left, The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw. Oh, wait, you can't say Texas Chainsaw. All kinds of shirts, folks. You're going to love them. shop.deadpit.com.
Special thanks goes out to our supporters on Patreon. You know what kind of stuff you can get on Patreon, Uncle Bill, starting at only $1 a month?
What's that?
Access to every Dead Pit show since 2005. We got almost 200 fan commentaries that we've done over the decades.
Here's what other fucking Patreons do. They're like, hey, give us money, and then we'll let you see a video early that we're going to release like a fucking week from now, and then that's all we're going to give you. Meanwhile, we have a literal jukebox full of songs, thousands of reviews. I don't even know how many shows are up on that now that we've done over the years.
Hundreds of thousands.
You need to figure this out now and subscribe to us on Patreon and YouTube and Instagram. Help us to 1 million. The road to 1 million subscribers starts today.
So Deadpit on Patreon.com. Join today. Tiers start at only a dollar, but I'd recommend at least the $10 tier.
You can do 50. The stock market's crashing around us, folks, but send us money.